Now I will begin tonight's class. With your permission.
Elder gopis would come to Yashoda Mayi to complain. Your Krishna and Balaram, they are so naughty. Their only business is to steal our yogurt and butter. Let me tell you what they do. Early morning, or even the day before, they send their friends and themselves. They go all around the village just to mark their targets for the next day. Early morning, they will secretly go to the shed where we keep our calves, and they'll untie them. And all the calves will run to their mothers to start drinking the milk. And when we see that all the calves are loose and they're all drinking their mother's milk, we realize we won't have any milk. They will take all the milk. So we, in a great chaos, we run from our houses to catch the calves and bring them back. And while we run out of the houses, Krishna Balaram and their friends run into our houses. And they will see our butter pots and break it with stones and eat them. And sometimes we will keep the pots, the clay pots of yogurt, hanging on the rafters from ropes. But Krishna Balaram are so expert with the little gopas. They climb on each other's shoulders, or sometimes they'll take a wooden grinder, a grinding mortar, or they'll take a table and they'll climb up. And Krishna has a stick with a very sharp iron point. And somehow Krishna, just by looking at the pot, knows exactly what's in it, even from the bottom. And with that stick, he'll poke it. And then the yogurt will start coming out. And Krishna will take his friends and put them underneath and and open their mouths, and the yogurt will go into their mouths one by one by one. And after all of his friends are fed, he'll start feeding our butter to the monkeys. And after the monkeys are completely filled up with all of our yogurt and butter, the monkeys will leave. And Krishna will say, I cannot enjoy eating this butter alone. And this butter is so useless, even the monkeys don't want it. And then whatever butter is left, he'll smash the pots and throw it on the floor. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. Another gopi said that sometimes we come to the house, we come running back to the house, and there's Krishna. We catch him red-handed with his hand in the pot of our butter, and he's eating and eating and eating, and we want to stop him. We want to chastise him, but he's so beautiful. He's so enchanting. He's so irresistible. We can't move. We can't say a word. All we do is stand there like statues, unblinking eyes, gazing at the beautiful form of Krishna eating all our butter, and he smiles and eats it all and throws it on the floor. Sometimes we hide it. When Krishna can't find it, he will pinch our babies or scratch them and make them cry. And one gopi said, not only that, but when we hit our butter, Krishna went into our sanctified temple room where we worship, and he passed stool and urine on our floor. One time, one of our husbands caught him and said, you are a thief. And Krishna looked at him and said, you are a thief. And another time, a gopi said, I caught him, I caught him. And Krishna looked at me and said, I promise I will never do it again. Please, please let me go. Right now, Krishna is sitting there, and he looks really afraid that you're going to chastise him. He looks so innocent, but we know in his mind, he simply, at this very moment, he is strategically making plans to steal our yogurt and butter. Yashoda Mai said, oh, then should I keep him at home? And they said, no, 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 please don't do that. The only reason we make our yogurt and butter is only with the hope and the longing that Krishna will come to steal it. Yashoda Mai could feel no anger toward Krishna. She simply smiled, feeling great happiness hearing the pastimes of Makkanchor. One time, it was Yashoda Mai came into the house and she saw little Krishna with his hand in the butter pot. And Krishna cried out, Mother, Mother, because you put bracelets with rubies, it's created so much heat that my hand is burning. So I have stuck my hand in this butter only to cool the burning experience. But I'm not stealing butter. Honestly, I'm not stealing butter. And Yashoda Mai smiled. My child is so clever. She kissed his hand and she said, I will take off these bracelets and relieve you from this burning. Another time, Krishna was stealing butter. And right next to him, there was a jeweled pillar. And he saw his reflection in the jeweled pillar. And he started talking to the person in the reflection. He said, my dear friend, please don't tell Yashoda Mai, don't tell my mother that I'm stealing this butter. I promise you, if you don't tell my mother that that I stole this butter, then I'll give some to you also. And Mother Yashoda was watching this whole thing. And she came close. And when Krishna saw her coming, he said, I didn't steal the butter. I didn't steal that butter. He was already eating it. It was all over his face. He pointed toward the reflection of himself. He said, he stole the butter. I told him not to. I told him you would be very angry. I said, you shouldn't ever steal butter. It's not right. But he wouldn't listen to me, and he ate all this butter. But I didn't steal it. I didn't eat any butter. Mother Yashoda laughed. Another time, one gopi actually caught Krishna stealing butter. And she said, I'm going to bring you to Mother Yashoda. And Krishna said, I warn you, do not do this. She said, no, no, you every day you're coming and stealing butter and yogurt from my house. I'm going to bring, Mother Yashoda doesn't, but I'm going to bring you to her. He said, I warn you, you should not do this. So she took Krishna by the hand and brought him right before Yashoda and said, Yashoda Mai, I caught him red-handed stealing my butter and eating my butter. Yashoda looked down and she said, what are you talking about? The gopi looked at the child in her hand. It wasn't Krishna, it was her son. The gopi was really embarrassed and really confused. And she said, come, my child, let's go home, let's go home. And they walked for some time. And then she looked down, and it was Krishna. And Krishna smiled and said, I warned you.
The Ananda Vrindavan Champu tells beautiful stories, Kavi Karnapur, how once it was the night, full moon, and Krishna looked up and pointed to the moon and said, I want that freshly churned condensed butter. I want to eat it now. Give it to me now. Started crying. Yashoda Mai said to the gopis, please pacify him. He said, give me that butter. I said, that's not butter. That's Rajahamsa. That's a swan that's swimming across the sky. So Krishna said, well, I want to play with him. Give him to me. I said, no, it's not Rajahamsa. It's Chandra. It's the moon. Well, I want him. Give him to me. He was crying. So then Yashoda came. And Mother Yashoda said, actually, it's not Rajahamsa and it's not Chandra. It's freshly churned butter. But you cannot eat it. Krishna said, why not? Said, because there's poison in it. What is poison? Said, you see those marks on it? That's poison. It's very dangerous. You cannot eat this butter. Said, how did poison get in the butter? She said, this butter was churned from the ocean of milk. Because according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the moon came out of the ocean of milk. Krishna said, an ocean of milk? How many cows did it take to fill up an ocean of milk? Yashoda Mai said, it wasn't made of cows. It was made by the Supreme Lord Narayan, who empowers cows to give milk. And as they churned, deadly poison came out. And Lord Shiva came to the rescue to drink it, but some drops fell. Krishna said, poison? You mean poison like snakes? And she said, whatever drops fell, the snakes drank that. That's why they are poisonous. So it is very dangerous. You cannot drink this milk, Krishna. So just leave that condensed milk where it is, that condensed butter, and drink my milk tonight. And Krishna very happily drank the milk, which is the expression of the pure love in Vatsalya Ras of Mother Yashoda. Today is Diwali. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who Prabhupada cites in his commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is today that Krishna performed his Damodar Leela. We would like to end the class this evening by making some feeble attempt to share this glorious pastime with the assembled devotees. We know that in the Treta Yuga, Lord Sri Ramchandra, he was banished to the forest for 14 years due to the evil manipulations of Kaikeyi. During the time in Panjavati, Ravana kidnapped Sita, brought her to his capital in Sri Lanka. Ramchandra made allies with Sugriva, his minister Hanuman, and the Vanara dynasty of monkeys. They fought the great war of Lanka and ultimately conquered Ravana. And with Sita, they returned to Ayodhya. It was on this day that all the citizens of Ayodhya put lamps to light the roads, to light every house, the lamps of their love, the lamps of their love and separation for 14 long years. The people of Ayodhya endured the blazing fire of separation from Lord Ram, Lakshman, and Sita. They anticipated this day. They lived. All those years, they lived only with the hope that this day would come. And it came. The lamps of the fire of their love illuminated all of Ayodhya to welcome Sri Ramchandra back home. Here in Gokul, Vrindavan, Yashoda Mai woke up very early in the morning on the day of Diwali. And she decided that she would personally churn the yogurt to make it into butter for Lord Krishna. Now, she had so many other gopis who were there to assist her. But Yashoda Mai was thinking that Krishna's always going to other gopis' houses to steal butter. What is it? I feed him so many nice sweetmeats here. What is the lacking of what I'm feeding him at home? So she decided she wanted to put her own concentrated pure love and devotion into every aspect of the preparations for Krishna. Nanda Maharaj had about 900,000 cows in his herd. Of them, about 1,000 were considered the best at giving milk. Of them, 100. There were 7 or 8 cows that were called Padmaganda cows. And they were fed special, fragrant grasses that smelled like lotus flowers. That grass was personally grown by Mother Yashoda and fed to those 7 or 8 cows. And it was the milk from those special Padmaganda cows that Mother Yashoda would make the preparations for Krishna. It was very rare. The ultimate milk in all of Braj. Yashoda Mai was churning that Padmaganda yogurt. Shukadev Goswami explains how she was dressed in a magnificent yellow sari that had a tinge of saffron. She had long braided black hair that was decorated with wonderful flowers, Malati flowers and Malika flowers. And as she was churning, her jeweled bracelets were making a chinking sound. And as she was churning, she was singing wonderful songs of Krishna's glories. This is how the residents of Vrindavan lived. Every day Krishna would perform pastimes that simply charmed their hearts. And the gopas and the gopis would compose poetic compositions of those pastimes. And they would sing them all day and sing them all night. So Yashoda Mai, remembering her little baby Krishna, was singing his glories, singing with so much love from her heart. And as she was singing, keeping rhythm where the ankle was, where the bracelets, ching, 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 ching,
and her jeweled earrings. They were swaying to and fro as if to dance to the kirtan of the glories of Lord Krishna. Her sari was loosening, little pearls like of perspiration formed on her. Her motherly affection, her separation from Krishna, who was sleeping in another room, was so deep. Milk began to flow from her breast. Krishna, who was sleeping, was awakened by his mother's love. Because that milk was flowing from her breast, he was hungry to drink it. He rose from his little bed and came running to the scene. Yashoda Mai was churning. Krishna demanded, "I want to drink your milk." Yashoda Mai was busy churning. So Krishna, he became very firm. He put his hand on the churning rod and stood between her and him and said, "No. When I want your milk, there is no other priority." Your mother Yashoda's heart melted. And she picked up Krishna and put him on her lap and began to feed him her milk, gazing at his beautiful face as he was showing his great satisfaction, accepting and tasting the sweetness of her pure love. Suddenly, in the next room, milk that was on the stove boiled over. It was Padmaganda milk. Very, very rare, precious milk. And that milk was being boiled to make special preparations for Krishna for that day. So in a service of Krishna, Yashoda Mai put Krishna down and ran to the other room to take the milk off the stove. Krishna was not happy. How could she put any priority above feeding me? So he bit. In anger, he bit his teeth over his lips and decided that he would teach Mother Yashoda a good lesson. He picked up a stone that was used to grind spices and he broke the clay pot in which this yogurt was being churned. Then he went into the next room. And there were some pots hanging from the ceilings. He climbed up, he took it down, and brought it out to the courtyard. And there was a wooden grinding mortar for grinding spices. And Krishna sat on that grinding mortar and was eating the butter and yogurt and feeding it to the monkeys. It is said that Krishna liked to feed the monkeys because he was very grateful. In his previous incarnation as Lord Sri Ram, monkeys took so many risks fighting an entire war just for him, to help him bring back Sita. So the Lord was very indebted to those monkeys. So he felt, "Come all monkeys, let me pay my debt. Take this butter." And the monkeys were eating and eating and eating, and Krishna was eating, and it was a very, very nice festival. Meanwhile, Yashoda Mai, after she took the Padmaganda milk off the stove, it is said the reason the milk boiled over, because the milk was being boiled for Krishna. And in Vrindavan, everyone is a conscious devotee. Nothing is unconscious. So the milk was only existing to be drunk by Krishna. And when the milk was seeing how Krishna was enjoying Yashoda Mai's milk, they were thinking that Yashoda Mai's love is unlimited. Therefore, her milk will be unlimited. And there's nothing that can compare to it. So Krishna will drink her milk forever, and therefore he'll never drink us. So what is the use of our existence? We should commit suicide by entering into fire. So it boiled over and started going into the fire. Yashoda Mai came out, and as soon as she came out, she came to get it, the milk understood that, yes, Krishna will drink us. So all the milk went back into the pot. So after she saved the milk's life, she came back to the grinding, to the churning area to feed Krishna. But Krishna wasn't there. There was just a broken pot with a stone laying next to it and just yogurt all over the floor. She put her finger on her nose and wondered, what happened? It must be Krishna doing this mischief. She looked down and noticed that Krishna's little lotus-like feet were sloshing through the yogurt, and the buttery footprints were on the floor. She picked up a stick and followed those buttery footprints. It came into the next room, where she saw other pots broken and another pot taken away. She followed more buttery footprints to the courtyard, where Krishna was sitting cross-legged on a grinding mortar, feeding the yogurt to monkeys. But as he was feeding them, he looked really afraid. His eyes were dashing from side to side, and he was looking in one direction and another, very much afraid that Mother Yashoda would catch him. Yashoda Mai very quietly, very slowly walked up from behind. But as she walked up from behind, the monkeys saw her, and they were very much afraid of what was about to happen. And all of a sudden, the monkeys were going, kah, 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 and they started running and jumping through windows and running up into the trees and going away. And the little cowherd boys, Krishna's friends, were watching, and they were seeing Krishna coming. Everyone was afraid. And when Krishna saw that, he looked back and saw his mother coming, and he jumped off the grinding mortar. Ran. That little child was running, and Yashoda Mai was running after him. But she had very large hips, and it was very difficult for her to run, but she was running. But how could she catch Krishna? It is said that even the greatest yogis, even the greatest scholars, with all of their scholarship, with all their mystic powers, they can never catch the Supreme Lord. As she was running, the flowers from her hair were falling to the ground. It is explained there were different kinds of flowers. Some were on Yashoda's side and some were on Krishna's side. The flowers on Yashoda's side, they were thinking, out of Yashoda Mai's pure love, she wants to serve Krishna, and she's already having so much trouble catching him. Maybe we're causing excess weight to help her. Let's jump down. So they jumped off her hair. Others were on Krishna's side. She's going to punish Krishna, and we don't want to be accomplices to this deed. So they didn't want to be a part of it. So they were jumping off her hair. So there were flowers falling to the floor, and Yashoda Mai was running, and Krishna was running, and Yashoda Mai was perspiring, and ultimately Krishna wanted to show the entire creation for all time to come that he is caught by the love of his devotee. Yashoda Mai took him with her right hand and took Krishna's hand, and with her other hand she had a stick. And Krishna was very much afraid. He was crying, he was trembling. And Yashoda Mai said, "Oh, you friend of monkeys, because of your association with monkeys, you are behaving just like a monkey." And Krishna, one hand was caught by her, and with his other hand, the back of his little tiny lotus hand, he was rubbing his eyes, which were pouring with tears. And the black mascara, kajal, that Yashoda Mai would put on Krishna, it was mixing with his tears and causing black streaks coming down his cheeks and onto his chest. And his lips were trembling. His heart was pumping very rapidly. His red bimba fruit-like lips were quivering. And he confessed to his mother, "I did it. Yes, I broke the pot, but I promise I'll never do it again. Please put down that stick. Please put down that stick. I'm very much afraid of that stick." Yashoda Mai threw the stick away. Queen Kunti remembered this wonderful scene. The Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is feared by fear personified. Yet he is trembling and weeping in fear from his mother. This is bewildering the mind of Yashoda Mai, Kunti Devi. How wonderful how Krishna's conquered by the love of his devotee. It wasn't that Krishna was pretending to be afraid. It wasn't that he was pretending to cry. If it was pretending, the Leela would have not the full, rich feeling that's so perfect and complete. Krishna, who is the absolute truth, the knower of everything, the source of the all-pervading Brahman, the source of Narasingadev, the source of Varahadev. Lord Narasingadev had no fear of Hiranyakashipu, who is the king of the demons. But the source of Narasingadev, the original fountainhead of all incarnations, the cause of Mahavishnu, who by his mere exhalation creates all cosmic manifestation, and just by breathing in once, the entire cosmos is destroyed. He's trembling, he's crying. He's helpless. He can't get away from his mother. Why? Because the love of a devotee, Krishna reciprocates by actually manifesting these genuine experiences. This is Vrindavan. This is something that is way beyond Mathura or Dwarka, or Vaikuntha, or anywhere else. It's the special, extraordinary, supreme feature of Gokula. For Krishna is so sweet. He's literally conquered and controlled by the love of his devotees, although he is the supreme controller. All of his potencies, when Krishna's there in Mother Yashoda's hands, Lord Narasimhadev is potentially there inside of him, as is Varahadev, as is the Virat Rupa. Arjuna saw this Virat Rupa, and Arjuna was really a fearless person. He was a great warrior, and he saw this map, this unbelievable form of many, many heads and arms and legs, just fire coming out of the mouths and devouring all the great, powerful warriors on earth. And Arjuna was trembling. I cannot look at this form. Yes, that Virat Rupa is potential within Krishna. It's all there. But see the power of Yashoda's love. That he's a baby. And he's crying. And he's trembling. And he's begging for her, please throw away your stick. This is the Madhurya Dham of Goloka, where love is at its essence of perfection. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us. This is what our beloved Srila Prabhupada took all risk, performed all sacrifices with such unlimited compassion, traveled around the world, stayed up at night, all night practically writing these books to give us this. Entrance into the highest, most profound pastimes of love, of Vrindavan, through the chanting of the holy names. Yashoda Mayi, she had other chores to do in the kitchen. And she was very much worried that Krishna is so mischievous, he can hurt himself. We were discussing last night, Rohini and Yashoda, they enjoyed so many anxieties due to Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram would love to put their mothers in anxiety. They were always afraid. Our children are so young and so helpless and so tender. And they roam around and they start playing with the horns of bulls. And what about the claws of the birds and the teeth of the monkeys and the dogs and the thorns in the ground and the stones and rocks that they might step on? They were always worrying about Krishna. Isn't that the nature of a mother, to always worry? Have any of you ever had that experience? I'm a sannyasi. I'm in my 50s. I've been traveling around the world. My parents don't know where I am or what I do or how I do it. But if I visit home and I come home late, my mother can't sleep. She's worrying about me. Hare Krishna. What are you eating? What are you wearing? It's the nature of a mother. To a mother, as far as I could see, a child never really grows up. Even if the mother has children and great grandchildren, still the child. She worries. Always worrying. The perfection of that worry is Mother Yashoda. That is the ultimate source of all motherly worries. Out of pure affection. And Krishna puts Rohini and Yashoda in that anxiety only to increase the intensity and the of the experience of their love. So Yashoda, am I worried about Krishna? She said, you are a naughty boy. Today, I have to go do my chores. I'm going to tie you with a rope to the grinding mortar. Since the grinding mortar was an accomplice to Krishna stealing butter that day, she tied them both together. At least that was her intent. She took rope, the rope that they usually use to tie the calves with to keep them away from their mothers. It is explained that the cowherd boys would have little ropes on their shoulders too later on, but I'll explain that another day. So like a little calf, she went to tie Krishna. And she put the rope around his waist, and when she went to tie it, she found the rope was the width of two fingers too short. She picked up another piece of rope and tied it to the original rope, wrapped it around Krishna's waist. Again, it was exactly the width of two fingers too short. She took more rope and more rope and more rope. And no matter how much rope she tied together, it was two fingers too short. Yashoda, I ran out of rope. She asked the other gopis, bring more rope. Soon gopis were coming from all directions with all different colors of rope. And they were all watching as Yashoda Mai kept tying more and more and more, and it was always two fingers too short. The gopis were laughing. Yashoda Mai was working very hard. She was smiling. The gopis said to Yashoda Mai that it appears that it is the will of destiny that he's not meant to be tied up. Can't you see, no matter how much rope you tie, he's not being tied? And Yashoda Mai was determined. No, I must see how much rope it takes to tie my son. I must protect him. She was working very hard. She was perspiring. More flowers were falling out of her hair. Her hair, her sari was loosening. How is it possible to bind the absolute truth? Because for Krishna, there's no material considerations. He is beyond the universe. He is beyond all dualities. He's beyond past, present, and future. He's beyond everything external and everything internal, everything inside and outside. The whole universal creation is within the Lord. So how can you take a little rope from creation and put it outside the Lord? It's impossible. Yashoda Mai, she saw the universe in Krishna. How could the universe be in Krishna and yet Krishna's in the universe simultaneously? Inconceivable. What she was attempting to do was impossible. To put a rope around the absolute truth and bind him. Krishna didn't want to be tied because he knew his friends were waiting outside for him and he was going to go out and do more mischief and steal more butter from other gopis' houses. And he was already late. So he would not allow it to happen. The amazing thing is even the length of the ropes were growing more, 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 more. But Krishna's waist was not growing or reducing. It was exactly the same size. It was a mystical experience for everyone to see. This is Krishna in Vrindavan. He could perform the most incredible, opulent miracles without changing from being a little baby. Other avatars, they do so many things to show their great miracles, but Krishna just remains the same little baby with the same size waist. But it cannot be bound. His Vibhuti Shakti manifests his supreme powers. His Satya Sankalpa Shakti manifests the fulfillment of all of his desires. He was displaying his powers, and his desire was to go out to join his gopas. But ultimately, seeing the determination of Yashoda Mai, her love and her endeavor conquered Krishna's heart. And he was defeated by his mother. Our acharyas explain what these two fingers too short represent. One is the determined faith and the endeavor of the devotee. And when Krishna sees that faith and that sincere endeavor of a devotee on the path of bhakti, he reciprocates by bestowing his mercy. And the combination of the effort of the devotee and the mercy of Krishna enables the devotee to bind Krishna by their love. Yashoda Mai, with the rope of her ecstatic motherly affection, tied Krishna to the grinding mortar. And she left. Some of the cowherd boys came after Yashoda Mai left and tried to untie it, but they couldn't untie it because she tied it in Vatsalya Ras, and it was a stronger knot that they could undo. Krishna looked outside and he saw two trees, Arjuna trees. And in his heart, he remembered his great devotee, Narada Muni, and decided to fulfill the promise of his devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami explains the story of the Arjuna trees. The two sons of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they were like demigods. They were the children of the treasurer of the heavenly planets. They had such beautiful bodies, very strong, and they had extraordinary wealth. And not only that, they became personal close associates of Lord Shiva. And they were allowed to go near Mount Kailash, where the Mandakini River flows, which is a heavenly paradise. They became extremely proud. It could be dangerous becoming dear and close to great personalities. Even that could make us proud. It should humble us. Maya is so strong. Someone could be a close personal associate of Prabhupada, and naturally a person will think, I'm completely unqualified, and Prabhupada's bestowing his unlimited causeless mercy upon me, and it should humble us that he's giving us that. But Maya could come in and try to make us feel proud. I'm better than you. I was with Prabhupada so many days. You never were. If you're proud, you can make offenses. If you make offenses, the mercy of the Lord is withdrawn. Great lesson. Personal associates of Lord Shiva, sons of Kuvera, with great opulences and wealth. They were intoxicated on a heavenly beverage called Varuni. And they were naked in the Mandakini Ganga, where there were all kinds of lotus flowers and beautiful, beautiful gardens all around, heavenly gardens. And they had young, beautiful girls who they also induced to take off their clothes, and they were playing with these beautiful naked girls in the water. All of them intoxicated, eyes rolling. At that time, Narada Muni appeared on the scene. As soon as the girls saw Narada Muni, they covered their bodies with clothes and were very apologetic. But Manigriva and Nala Kuvera did not show any attention to Narada Muni. They were not only intoxicated on Varuni, but they were intensely intoxicated with false pride due to their wealth and beauty. So they did not think anything of Narada Muni. They just stood there naked. Narada Muni, very merciful. He understood their condition. And it is explained there in Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni's mind, how wealth can intoxicate a person's mind with pride. When one has too much wealth, one feels that they have power. One feels that they have so much control over their lives and other people. They're bound to make offenses. They cannot humble themselves. Very difficult. And worst of all, they can't really receive the mercy of great souls. Even if a great sadhu comes to the house of a wealthy man who's intoxicated by their wealth, even if they hear his words, they don't really hear. Because you can only assimilate spiritual knowledge where there's humility. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. If we want to understand the truth from a saintly person, we have to be submissive, we have to be humble, we have to be eager to serve. Intoxication of wealth can make a person proud and hard-hearted. And not only that, but sadhus travel from home to home, and poor people allow anyone in their homes. Wealthy people, oftentimes, they think, what is he coming for? What does he want? So many suspicions. And therefore, they don't really open their hearts to hear. It's not that it has to be this way. Some of the greatest saints in history were very wealthy people. But that tendency has to be very carefully protected. So Narada Muni saw their condition and blessed them with a curse. Because you are standing naked, even in front of a devotee of the Lord, I curse you to be naked as trees for 100 years of the demigods. That's a long time. But you will be trees in Gokul Mahavan. And I bless you that you will be fully conscious of your previous birth and of the offenses you made the whole 100 years. And you will repent, you will regret the whole time. And all your pride will be smashed. Where will be your beauty? Where will be your wealth? Where will beautiful heavenly damsels be? You'll just stand there as naked trees. You can't even move for 100 celestial years. But at the end of that 100 years, you will see the pastimes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he will deliver you. When little baby Krishna, tied to the wooden grinding mortar with the rope of Yashoda's love, he looked outside and saw the Yamalarjunas, and he thought, I'm going to do even more mischief. And I am going to make the words of my devotee Narada Muni true. He pulled, he crawled, and as he was crawling, the wooden grinding mortar was being dragged behind him. Gopal crawled between Yamalarjuna. And as he crawled and pulled the wooden grinding mortar, the grinding mortar went crisscross, caught between the two trees. Krishna pulled again. These Arjuna trees were very old. They were huge and wide, and their roots were very, very deep. Our dear godbrother, Dinabandhu Prabhu, who was like best of Brijavasis, he loves to tell this story. And he explains when he was in Mauritius, there was a cyclone and all the trees were torn down except the Arjuna trees. They're the strongest trees. Krishna pulled the rope and suddenly the trees trembled, and then crashed down to the ground, and out from the trees came two effulgent divine celestial beings. Their bodies looked like they were fire. They folded their hands. It was Mani Griva and Nala Kuvera, and offered prayers to Krishna, recognizing him as the Supreme Absolute Truth who has appeared in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj to perform the most beautiful pastimes. By Narada Muni's grace, after 100 years of just standing alone with nothing around, they were allowed to witness the childhood pastimes of Bal Gopal, and their hearts were completely purified. They honored and worshiped Sri Narada Muni's mercy upon them. And Bal Gopal blessed them. They prayed for a benediction. With our eyes, let us only see you. With our ears, let us only hear your glories. With our tongues, let us only chant your praise. With our bodies and all of our limbs, let us only serve you. With our minds, let us always remember you. With our hearts, let us always love you. With our lives, let us always be surrendered to you. We want nothing else. This was the only benediction they asked. And Krishna blessed them. That you can go now to your homes, but you will always remember me as my pure devotees. You will return to my abode and never return to material consciousness ever again. Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva surrendered their lives, circumambulated Krishna, and ascended to the heavenly worlds. Meanwhile, hearing this crashing sound of the Twim Arjuna trees, the cowherd men, they were struck with fear, running. And when they came and saw the trees uprooted from the ground, laying, and Krishna was right in between them, he was tied to a grinding mortar. Some explain that just before Manigriva and Nalakuvera left, they volunteered to untie Krishna. And Krishna told them, no, you cannot do that, because my mother will be very angry with you if you do. So they left. When Nanda Maharaj came, how is it that these trees were knocked down from the ground? And Krishna's right in between them, and why is he tied to this grinding mortar, and how is it possible that he wasn't hurt? Nanda Maharaj, because he had Vatsalya Ras, he untied Krishna and took Krishna in his arms and embraced him. Meanwhile, some of the little boys, they said, we saw what happened. Krishna pulled the grinding mortar and the trees fell down. Some of the cowherd men were thinking, that is not possible. How could we believe these children? And some others were thinking, well, Garga Rishi, Nanda Maharaj told us that he said that Krishna was like Narayan. Maybe he did it. But no, it's not possible. How could he? He's just such a little helpless boy. How could he do? As Krishna was sitting in the lap of Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai heard what had happened, and she came running with tears in her eyes. Oh, Gopal, oh, Gopal. But Krishna turned away. And Yashoda Mai said, please, Gopal, look at me. Krishna turned away again. Yashoda Mai said, please come in my arms. He said, no, I like to be in Nanda Maharaj's arms. And Nanda Maharaj said, but Gopal, don't you want your mother to feed you milk? Krishna said, you could feed me milk, Father. Yashoda Mai felt so heartbroken. She was the one that tied Krishna up. And now look what happened. The trees fell. Krishna was in danger. But worse than anything, Krishna was so angry at her that he would not look at her. So she went into the room and simply cried. And then a gopi came and told Krishna Yashoda Mai's condition. And Krishna jumped out of the arms of Nanda Maharaj and ran. Mother, mother, Mai, please give me your milk. And Yashoda Mai heard his voice and ran to him and lifted him into her arms, embraced him with tears of love, and fed him the milk of her prem. This is the Damodar Leela. Simply by hearing this Leela, remembering this Leela, the natural love that is dormant within our heart will certainly awaken. Satyavrat Muni writes in his Damodarastakam, I do not want heavenly wealth, nor mystic powers, nor liberation, nor even elevation to Vaikuntha. My only prayer and desire is that this beautiful pastime of Damodar,
being bound by the ropes of his mother's love, may forever be enacted within my heart. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.